Something very wrong has happened in Haiti, says Ezili Danto, a member of Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. 10 months after the January earthquake, hundreds of thousands still languish in refugee camps, and now a cholera epidemic is threatening to break out.
Over $1 billion collected by private charities. About 16,000 NGOs in Haiti. Per capita, there are more charitable organizations in Haiti than anywhere else in the world, and yet, 10 months later, there's 1.3 million people on the streets, homeless, living under tarps, basically in sheets. It's the hurricane season. Those same people lost their property and are living within the rubble.
Ms. Danto doesn't believe this is a coincidence. 2 days after the earthquake, she says,
the United States came into Haiti the militarized aid. It's not about Haitian development. Capitalism was the reason why there was enslavement, why we had 300 years of being property. The missionaries came and they told you they were enslaving you so that you could save your soul. Now they tell us they have come to Haiti to help us develop.
Adana Usmani from Action for a Progressive Pakistan describes how catastrophic floods are being used to further push Pakistan into poverty and dependence.
20 million of Pakistan's poorest people were totally uprooted. The most often quoted estimates of $10 to $15 billion. Reconstruction costs dwarf the amount of aid pledged by the international community thus far. The total represents about one-third to one-half the money Obama has committed to funding the surge in Afghanistan, which was $33 billion. For every dollar that has arrived in flood-related assistance through the UN, almost four are leaving to service the foreign debt.
Perhaps nowhere in the world is the picture of recolonization more striking than in Central Africa, where the United States and other Western nations have been funding genocidal wars for decades. In the Congo, says Kambale Musavuli from Friends of the Congo,
the war officially ended in 2002, and we saw how disaster capitalism really came into play. The IMF and World Bank actually wrote the mining laws and the forestry laws of the Congo. They privatized the mining assets of the country. Foreign corporations fire their employees. Congo has the second largest rainforest in the world. There is an American company, Ellen Blattner, right here in New Jersey, cutting trees like there is no tomorrow.
Closer to home, after the Katrina hurricane in 2005, disaster capitalism was able to flex its muscle in New Orleans by demonstrating its awesome ability to sidestep state power. Beverly Bell from Other Worlds Are Possible.
In New Orleans, the developers, who are for the most part rich and white, have made money off of development itself and off of tourism, which is really nothing more than the marketing of the fruits of African American culture. We saw this model that had two elements to it. One is ethnic cleansing, and the other is privatization. Of the 100,000 people who never returned home, most of them were black and poor. One of the very first acts of city government after Katrina was to fire the entire public school system staff, 7,500 people. Three quarters of the New Orleans schools are managed charters, and I have heard that there are plans to fully do away with public schooling in New Orleans. Housing, with almost 5% of the city, or 12,000 people, homeless. The city decided to demolish, after Katrina, all of the public housing. Charity Hospital, ready to go, structurally sound and cleaned up. And guess what? 3 weeks after Katrina, the Louisiana state government chose to close it down.
Disaster capitalism, says Beverly Bell, is an ideology. It uses a propaganda which removes the humanity of entire populations by painting them as terrorists or savages, destroys their institutions, and sends private security firms to take over.
In order to have buy-in from the U.S. people, there has to be a propaganda mechanism.
For the WBAI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.